Welcome to today's deep dive. Today, our mission is to unpack the South African National Small Business Act of 1996. Because, you know, you constantly hear politicians praise, like, the little guy. But how does a government actually define and support them on paper?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's one thing to stand at a podium and say you support local enterprise. But it's entirely another to write a law that somehow covers a tech startup, a family farm, and maybe a corner bakery.
Yeah, because they operate in completely different realities, right?
Exactly. And this act doesn't even try to use a blanket definition. If you look at the schedule at the very end of the document, it actually classifies businesses as micro, very small, small, or medium.
Right, based on what, three distinct metrics?
Yeah, it looks at the sector of the economy,
yeah,
the number of full-time employees, and the total annual turnover, meaning revenue or the gross asset value.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's almost like setting up weight classes in combat sports.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you can't put a featherweight in the ring with a heavyweight and, you know, expect a fair fight.
Right. And the contrast between these weight classes are just wild. Like, in the mining and quarrying sector, a medium enterprise can have up to 200 employees and 30 million rand in turnover.
Yeah, which is a massive operation.
Exactly. But then compare that to a micro business in the retail sector. That caps out at just 5 employees and 150,000 rand in revenue.
Right. So they are governed by the same Small Business Act, but they function galaxies apart. And what's really fascinating here is the underlying mechanism preventing a one-size-fits-all policy.
Because a blanket policy would just, you know, completely fail.
Completely. I mean, if the government just pushed out one broad definition of small, any tax break they design might work beautifully for that 200-person mining plant.
But it would be utterly useless to the retail shop.
Exactly. A micro farm just needs completely different survival parameters and support structures than a medium-sized manufacturing operation.
Okay, so we have these distinct weight classes, which totally makes sense.
Right.
But since the Act goes to such great lengths to categorize these businesses, how does it actually deploy help to them?
Well, the Act sets up two distinct statutory bodies. You have the National Small Business Council and then the Nonsika Enterprise Promotion Agency.
Wait, here's where it gets really interesting to me. Why create two separate bodies? Isn't this just like doubling the bureaucracy for you as a taxpayer?
It looks like that on the surface, sure. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about intentionally separating advocacy from execution.
Oh, I see. So they have completely different jobs.
Yeah. So the council acts as the voice of the businesses. It's composed of provincial representatives and experts. They represent small business interests and basically advise the government on policy.
So the council is the lobbyist doing the talking.
Pretty much. And then the Nonsika agency acts as the hands. Its mandate is purely operational.
Meaning they handle the actual resources on the ground?
Right. They focus on non-financial services, training, policy research, and funneling funding to local service providers. They help with market access and raw materials. Basically, you don't want the people advocating for the policy to be the exact same people handing out the resources.
Oh, that makes total sense. This division ensures that the voice asking for help isn't the same hand distributing it.
Exactly. It's a really important separation of powers.
So for you listening, whether you're an entrepreneur or just a curious learner, this shows that supporting business isn't just a catchy slogan. It requires this incredibly precise legal engine to actually function.
It does. But it also raises an important question about how fragile that whole system can be.
Wait, how so?
Well, you know, the Act explicitly gives the minister the power to amend the schedule to account for inflation and macroeconomic shifts.
Right. I mean, because money loses its purchasing power over time, you have to adjust the numbers.
Exactly. But consider this. In a volatile economy, if inflation skyrockets, a micro business could accidentally cross the financial threshold into a higher regulatory tier.
Wait, really? Without actually growing its operations?
Yes. Just because the price of their goods went up, they suddenly look richer on paper.
Oh, wow. So just because of inflation, they get bumped into a stricter regulatory bracket, and suddenly they're facing compliance costs they can't afford.
Exactly, even though they haven't sold a single extra product or hired anyone new.
That is wild. Definitely something to mull over until our next deep dive.